We'll continue on here as we're looking at Jesus and nothing else. And we want to see here, as we kind of finish up all of this, that Jesus is the only answer. In verses, last part of verse 8 through verse 11, it says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We need to understand that righteousness depends on faith. It comes from believing that Jesus died to pay the price for our wrongdoing and for our sin. And sin basically means wrongdoing, doing things that are not pleasing to God. And if our sin is paid for, then that means we can begin to live right. And basically, righteousness means right living. That's what it means. Somebody says, well, you need to be righteous. What they're saying is you need to live right. And so righteousness depends upon our faith in Jesus and trusting that he has taken care of all the sin that we have in our life, all that wrongdoing. He's washed it away, or as the psalmist says, he's scattered it as far as the east is from the west. But in order for us to live right, then we have to know Jesus, because if we know Jesus, we mean we can live as he lived. Paul says that we can realize the power of Jesus' resurrection in our lives. And this means that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to live our lives in victory. We have victory over sin. We no longer have to commit those wrong things and do those wrong things that we did before. We have victory over addiction, those things that hold power over us. No matter what it happens to be, we all have a tendency to gravitate towards something that wants to hold power over us and keep us bound. You know, it might be pornography, it might be alcohol, it might be drugs, it might be having a lot of money. It might be going from person to person. Whatever it is, we have the victory over that. We have the victory over depression. We're able to live a life and see that life has meaning, and that God wants us to live a life that has meaning. We have victory over anxiety. We don't have to spend our lives worrying about what's going to happen. Is the war in Ukraine going to expand? Is our government going to fail? And what am I going to do if this happens in our government, or if this doesn't happen in our government? We can live above that and not be depressed or anxious about those things. We have a victory over our financial worries because we believe what Jesus said, that there's not a sparrow that falls that he's not aware of, and God is concerned about these little things. He's going to take care of you. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of all of those things, as Matthew 6:33 points out. We have victory over the family issues that come our way, the wayward child, or those arguments that you're having with your spouse, or those little things that come up on a daily basis. Now, don't get me wrong when I'm saying all of this. It doesn't mean that these things are not going to arrive in our lives and that they're not going to crop up at some point or another in our life, because they are going to. Satan's doing his best to make sure that those things happen in our hearts and our lives. But Paul's saying we have the answer in Jesus. We have the power to be able to overcome these things because he's given us his Holy Spirit, as he says in John 14, 15, and 16, to live a life that has meaning. And if Jesus conquered the ultimate enemy of death, then we need to understand that he has also conquered whatever it is that we face in our life. There's nothing that comes our way that he hasn't already taken care of. And we are to become more like Jesus each and every day because we belong to Jesus. And when we live as he lived, then we also understand what he says in verse 11, that our reward is eternity with Jesus. We don't really know what eternity is going to be like. We see that heaven is depicted in earthly terms whenever it comes to God's word. And I believe it's given to us because that's what we can understand. And basically, it's just a glimpse of the splendor of heaven, the pearly gates, the golden streets, the beauty of it. We can understand that, but I think heaven is much more than that. Mm-hmm. It may not even have pearly gates. It may not even have golden streets, you know. But there's a splendor there that the Bible's trying to say, hey, it's greater than anything you can imagine. But the important thing is that if we're looking for our reward in eternity, it's not all of that. It's that we are going to be with our Creator forever. And think of that. We're going to be with our Creator forever. And so we have to take comfort that in due time we're going to receive our reward because we have Jesus, and Jesus is all we need. Mm-hmm. So it does us good to pause from time to time and ask some questions for us. And maybe as we consider what we're looking at today, we ought to ask the question, how do I view my life in Christ? Am I viewing my life as a religion? I have this religion, and this religion is good for me. Well, religion can be good or bad, mm-hmm. depending on what your religion is. You know, religion is a set way of looking at things and believing that it's beneficial to you if you want to boil it down to the basic. Am I viewing it as religion? Do I even have a life in Christ? Might be the first question we want to ask. Have I trusted in him as Lord and Savior? But am I seeing him as my Lord and Savior, or am I trying to earn my way into heaven by what I do? And if we are looking at our lives in view of religion, have I found my religion to not really fulfill what I thought it was going to? In other words, have I found my religion to be worthless? Hasn't done a thing for me. Had people tell me, said, well, I got religion once and it didn't do a thing for me. And the truth is, it didn't do a thing for you because you got religion. Mm-hmm. You didn't get Christ.
Right.
When you get Christ, he can do something for you. But when you get religion, it might help you in a few areas. But in the end, it's ultimately not going to do too much for you. And so we try to do things based on religion rather than relationship. Mm-hmm. And religion's not going to do it. It's when we have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ that we find meaning. Religion doesn't save, it separates. Christ saves and brings into relationship. Totally different, you know. Relationship means coming together. Mm-hmm. Religion separates means going apart. So make sure that you don't have religion. Make sure you have relationship with Jesus. And then the third question is how am I seeking Jesus as the answer to my life, which ultimately he is the answer. Am I truly surrendering my life to him on a daily basis? It's not I got Jesus back when I was 7 or 14 or what, 50 or whatever. It's surrendering your life to him every day and every moment of every day, and saying, God, you get everything. We want to compartmentalize our lives a lot of time. God, you can have the living room. You can have the kitchen of my life. God, you can even have the sunroom. But you can't have my office and you can't have my bedroom. You know, no, we have, God says, I want everything. You can't compartmentalize your life. You got to have it all. And Jesus cannot fully work in your life until you fully surrender your life. Mm-hmm. That song, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all, you know, says it all. Mm-hmm. We have to fully surrender our lives to him. So we need to be asking ourselves those questions, and not just ask ourselves those questions, just once, but we need to be asking ourselves these questions on a regular basis, mm-hmm. Reminding ourselves, how am I viewing my life in Christ? Am I slipping back towards religion? What good is it doing? Am I constantly seeking Jesus on a daily basis? I tell people, you need to be in God's Word on a daily basis. And you need to, don't get me wrong. I love devotional books. They have some really good thoughts. And I read devotionals, and I love those. But if you're trying to live by one or two verses a day in a devotional thought, you need to get a little deeper. Mm-hmm. Dig deeper. Spend some time with God. I've been reading through the Bible for 15 plus years. I wish I'd written down whenever it was. I decided I'm going to just read through the Bible every year. But at least since probably closer to 20, at least since, in fact, I'm sure 20, because that was mid-90s, I think, when I actually started, just reading through the Bible every year. And you know what? If you'll read through the Bible every year, you go, well, I don't understand that. Well, maybe God's saying you need to dig a little deeper. But sometimes God's saying, it's all right that you don't understand it right now. Just keep reading. It'll come to light later. Mm-hmm. It might be on the 5th or the 10th time you read through the Bible that you go, oh, here's what I didn't understand 10 years ago, but God's saying to me. Because God knows where you're at. He knows what you need to comprehend for your life at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so as you're reading through the Bible, if you don't understand it as deeply as some people appear to understand it, that's okay. God says, just keep reading. Just keep reading. Just keep going through it. And so we have to constantly be doing that. So you can't live a life of joy by finding religion. You've got to have it in a relationship. Religion might make you a better person, but only Jesus can make you a joyful, righteous person. Only Jesus can make you a joyful, righteous person. So leave the religion behind. Pursue Jesus. Another thing we need to remember is that you have to relinquish your past to live in God's present. There's a reason why when you're driving your vehicle down the road that the rear view mirror is so much smaller than the windshield. And the reason is a couple of reasons. One, you can glance back and see where you come from, but more importantly, you can see danger approaching from the back. But basically what it's saying is that your past is past. You're not there anymore. Your windshield says, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going to live at. This is where I'm going to be at. And Paul says, I gave up my religious pedigree. I had a great pedigree when it comes to religion, but I gave it up to live in the present reality that God has for me. And when you live life in God's presence, you live in the joy that he has for you this day. Mm-hmm. Remember the joys that he gave you yesterday, but live in the present joy that he has for you today. And live in the present things that he has for you today. And then ultimately, the final reward of joy is being in the presence and enjoying the presence of God for all of eternity. Present joy comes from the God who is present in your life. Future joy comes from being in the presence of God for eternity. Remember that. Present joy comes from the God who's present in your life. Future joy comes from being in his presence for all eternity. And if you'll remember that, then you will understand that Jesus is all you really need. Mm-hmm. Other things are good, other things are great, but Jesus is all you really need. And so I'd encourage you, if you haven't given your life to God today, if you haven't allowed Jesus into your heart and life, to just say, I realize that Jesus is not Lord of my life. I realize that I'm not living where it is. You know, Romans 10:9, I think it says, that if you declare Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that he came, you shall be saved. And so you have to recognize Jesus as Lord and believe. And you can't believe and not recognize him as Lord.
That's right.
So if you don't know him, just say, God, I know I'm not living the life you want me to. I'm sorry for those things I've done wrong. I want you to be in my life, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I want Jesus to live me in my heart and in my life. And so you need to do that, and just do that today. If you've given your life to the Lord, just surrender yourself every day. It's a daily surrender. It's a choice you make. Saying, Lord, I need you. I want you in my life every day. When Jesus is all you need, you have all you need. And that's about all I have to say.
That was a good word. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It's the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my daughter, Josie Dobbs, and from Pastor Joe Thompson, y'all have a blessed day. And remember, stay tuned after we end. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight Shepherd on the Truth Broadcast. Have a blessed day.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, let us pray.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support.